ChipChat is moving iTunes channels. Visit our website at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm and click on the link for iTunes to subscribe to the new feed. Welcome to ChipChat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
We're on ChipChat Live, recording from IDF in San Francisco. Today is day three of our live cast recordings. We've had a fantastic 2 days of discussions around cloud computing and high-performance computing. And today, we're going to start off with one of the biggest buzzwords in data center computing, big data. And I'd like to welcome back frequent ChipChat guest, Pauline Niss, General Manager of Mission Critical Computing for Intel Corporation.
No, not anymore. I've moved over to the new data center software division.
That's
now.
Right. I apologize, Pauline. My cheat sheet has your old title on it. So you were in the new data center software group, and Billy Cox was on yesterday talking about that. So why don't you go ahead and give us an overview of what that group is all about?
Well, what we've really come to the realization of, particularly as we're integrating storage and networking and computes and with the fabric acquisitions we've done, is that it really is not servers. It's about putting all this together. And putting it together means you need to think about the software that enables it. And so Boyd Davis has formed this new group focused on just data center software. We do an awful lot of software in Renee's organization, as you know, for clients and
right.
for mobile and a whole lot of things. But this is just really data center. And the focus is on, one, both working with our partners, which is what I do, and then, two, developing some unique products that fill the gaps for things that we can do to enable the use of our systems by both the OEMs and the ISVs and the end user customers. So things like Data Center Manager are in the group. The new WAMCOD acquisition of Lustre is in the group. The non-volatile memory work that Steve Dalton is doing is there. The hybrid cloud stuff is there. So we've kind of pooled all of the software work together in one place. And Boyd has the unique challenge of working jointly for Renee and for Diane.
That sounds like a fun task at hand. I think one of the things Billy said about it yesterday was, I'm looking for the edges of the scope of this organization, and I still haven't found them. You just painted a very wide picture. But I'm glad I brought up Mission Critical as a concept, because it does relate to what we're going to talk about today, data analytics for the enterprise and big data. And, you know, one of the topics that maybe the word that I've heard the most at IDF that seems to be a big buzzword is Hadoop. And we're going to start there. For those of the uninitiated in the audience, can you just get a very brief definition of Hadoop and where it comes from?
Well, Hadoop was originally developed by the big internet data centers, by Google and Yahoo and Facebook and those guys, to analyze the unstructured data that they have got. I mean, they produce, if you're in that web serving business, you produce a vast amount of quantity of information about the people who use you. I mean, if you've read in the Plex or some of the Google books, you know that their whole claim to fame is not just their search engine, but the analysis they do of their customers and what they're looking at and why they're looking at and what sites are most popular so they can rank order what they show you. And that's a very different job than analyzing structured data or transactional data. And so they needed some new tools. And what Hadoop is a clustered scale-out ability to grow very quickly, a big cluster that would take in all of this data and deduplify it and reduce it to more useful information so that they could then run some analytics on it. So what Hadoop is today is an open-source distribution that you can get from Apache. The name Hadoop is a little bit deceiving because Hadoop itself has a number of components, from a file system to tools that you can use, and Apache releases the whole set of them, but it's very much like a toolkit, and ideally you want to have about 5 graduate comp sci students who can figure out how to get this all installed and up and running at minimum wage. So it's a great open source product. It's allowed a lot of people to build a lot lot of volume capability for much lower costs because they use, you know, Xeon servers. They use direct attached storage. It's all scale out using Ethernet for the connectors. So it really lends itself to doing anything from, you know, a couple thousand node cluster that a Google or a Facebook might want to, you know, 8 or 10 or 20 or 100 or 120 nodes that somebody else might want to just play around with their unstructured as opposed to their structured data. It all depends what the business value is to you.
So thank you for that background. I think it's very helpful. We talked about big data probably the first time about a year ago at IDF and at Oracle World. And at that time, people were starting to look at Hadoop as something that would be relevant for the enterprise. Enterprises were looking at unstructured data as something that they might be able to derive some business value out of. We're a year ahead now. Where are we in this conversation? What do you see as the general trend in terms of enterprises adopting new forms of data analytics like Hadoop?
Well, there's the good and the bad. The bad is that hard as it is to believe that there would be a buzzword that would be buzzier than cloud, big data has gotten there.
You know, for those of us who work on cloud computing, it's a big sigh of relief that you're not the big target of the biggest buzz.
And so in a lot of ways, you know, the big data phrase can be used to mean whatever you want it to mean, whether you're selling analytics that run on top of it or you're talking about Hadoop or whatever. The good news is that it at least hopefully gets you into framing the conversation of what's the business value of this data? How can I use it? What do I need to do? You know, where am I at in the continuum of people who have interest in it? And you have everything from the internet service providers who absolutely use it because that's their business to retail, which obviously would love to connect the store experience with the online experience, and that gives it very different data types, to healthcare, where I just saw an article that said, healthcare should stay away from big data. Healthcare is so far behind in just analyzing its clinical data that they could make orders of magnitude leaps forward just doing evidence-based medicine and clinical operational data analytics. And if they didn't look at big data for another 3 years, there's still huge ground to be made just doing the other stuff they haven't done already. So I think you have to stop and ask yourself, what's my problem? What am I trying to solve? How does this help me? Where does it fit in the whole tool pack that I have for getting to that solution?
Now, you said that, you know, pointed out that this came from the open source community. It's made for the web scale guys who may be comfortable using things that a traditional enterprise wouldn't be quite as comfortable using. What are the hurdles that you see in this migration in terms of technology maturation and, you know, full solution sets? And how do you think that's going to evolve?
It's still very early in the days of it. I mean, Apache just this past year released version 1.0 of a combined list of, you know, of I think probably around 12 of the components that make up Hadoop and HBase file system, everything else. And I think that you have to have a fair amount of Linux expertise to get it up and running, and more importantly, to get it up and running efficiently. We've actually released some performance tools into the Apache open source community from work we've done in China and other places to make it, I mean, to give you an idea, by doing a little bit of work, you can make it run 3 to 5 times faster than it runs out of the box. So it's a pretty early toolkit of what you're getting, and it means you have got to have some expertise to put it together, or you've got to go to one of the partners like a Cloudera or a Hortonworks, and that's why you see a lot of buzz about those companies out there, because they're trying to help people have a distribution that runs effectively. A lot of work is also going into trying to make it more real-time. I won't say instantaneous real-time like the in-memory data analytics, but Hadoop, as it comes out of the box from Apache, is pretty much batch-oriented. And that's fine if you want to like collect all of your data for hours or the day or something and look at it. But if you're really trying to use it in the business world where you might want to have things happen, you know, pretty quickly to be responsive, say, to pricing changes or, you know, things that are going on that you're seeing in terms of demand for merchandise, then you would want more of this real-time aspect. And I think that's another area that people are starting to experiment with it. But it's still very, very much, it's of great appeal to the Linux guys in your data center because it's like the cool, neat new thing to play with. That's very different, though, than saying that, you know, I can walk into the boss and say, here's how we're going to use this and here's how it's going to add value to us.
So when you think about that, that's an interesting observation. Who in the CIO's office is going to be the guy that's going to go on and take Hadoop and integrate it into traditional business analytics? And how is that going to happen?
It's going to happen, I think, as a business value sell. That you know, where I see interest in it is the first example I gave you, which is retail, where most of these retail guys now have a huge web presence, and somebody like Macy's, for instance, is making a major step forward right now to do something they've never done, which is unify the inventory in their web store with the inventory in all of their brick and mortar stores. And Macy's has the problem today that something can sell out on the internet and be being marked down in the store because it's not moving, and they can't pull that into being able to ship it to a web customer at full price.
Right.
And so they would love to just be able to collect a lot of this unstructured stuff that's coming in from the web, along with all of this information they have about the stores. And then longer term, they'd like to use location-based activities in the stores to actually monitor where the hot spots are in the stores. So I think what you're going to see is the business guys thinking, what could I do with this if I had it? You know, what are my real-time demands? Did I look at it a couple times a day, once a day? You know, how do I then go make the case that, say, we need to move from what we're doing today, which still tends to be, you know, older transactional data warehousing kinds of things, into this Hadoop area where I've got more velocity of data, more volume of data, more complexity of data, and I need a solution to my problem. But I think it's going to take that business need.
The adoption by the big business analytics guys, this is obviously a disrupting change in terms of potentially how corporations actually perform their analytics. Not just obviously not something that's going to replace everything from a traditional standpoint, but maybe a way to differentiate services. What have we seen? Are they all on the Hadoop bandwagon at this point?
Oh, absolutely. That's the beauty of a buzzword that's bigger than cloud, right? Because what Hadoop is today is a way of acquiring a lot of data and reducing it to the most useful piece of it, but then you still need to run analysis on it. And the analytics engines today are by and large owned by those traditional ISVs. I mean, the single biggest portfolio is obviously IBM. Oracle's in there. I mean, even people like EMC with Greenplum are in there. SAS, which does a lot of very focused analytics and predictive business stuff. So what you're seeing is obviously last year at Oracle OpenWorld, you saw Oracle jump in with their Exalytics and their big data. And Larry actually said the NoSQL word, which shocked everybody. IBM has a huge big insights division that's out here down in the Almaden Valley. So what they're all working to do is a lot of them are working with the kind of leading Hadoop firms out there like Caldera and Hortonworks. I think Microsoft has an agreement with Hortonworks. If I'm not mistaken, Oracle's got an agreement with Caldera. I think IBM's kind of running with everybody. So they're all looking for ways to pull the data out of Hadoop and feed it into their analytics engines. A lot of them are already supplying the kind of software tools that let them do that. And you're seeing, in particular, that there are some solutions that were out there already. And I'm thinking of IBM's Netezza box and EMC's Greenplum that are just made for pushing Hadoop in, because they're very similar kinds of configurations where they're just piles of stacked Linux servers with direct attached storage that are made to kind of do parallel analysis that lets you take all of these feeds in from Hadoop and deal with those kinds of volumes of data. So a lot of them have moved to line up the appropriate products in their suite to help you do that. Even Microsoft, obviously, because Microsoft's view is that we have democratized data analytics and can really take it out to low-end people. Microsoft, in a very funny kind of way, clusters just like Hadoop does. You know, the way that they build build aggregations of servers is to cluster them like Hadoop does, and they're obviously x86 based. Right. So they think they're a very logical place to actually connect that to. I'm not sure Linux people would necessarily think that way, but everybody rushed to. There wasn't a conference that happened this year for anybody in analytics at which there weren't Hadoop sessions and Hadoop product launches, and they're in, you know, they're in virtually all of the corporations doing analytics today. So if you are in the corporate world as opposed to the internet or purely the cloud world, you already have got licenses, you've already got infrastructure to deal with that, so you'd like to connect them.
So when you look at where we are in terms of the adoption cycle, where would you characterize the average corporation in terms of taking advantage of Hadoop? Are they testing in a lab somewhere? They're getting their feet wet? Are they putting it into production environments? And if so, how are they dealing with things like mission criticality?
I think we're still very, very early. I mean, Gartner got a lot of attention last month for publishing a study that said a huge percentage of corporate entities weren't even thinking about Hadoop in 2014. And there are people who would, you know, argue about that. But I think that it goes back again to the business need. And, you know, what is your web presence? You know, where are you getting data about your customers from? I think that there are certain segments of the market that are much more web-centric, that are further along. But I think in general, it hasn't really hit the corporate world seriously from what I would call a production environment. I mean, a lot of the internet ones, if the Hadoop cluster was down tomorrow, you know, people might shrug their shoulders and not be thrilled, but it wouldn't cause a major perturbation in anybody's events. The flip side of it is that the minute that it comes into the corporate world, people are going to want a more robust environment. And that's the other place that I think people are struggling with Hadoop, which is management tools and how you put, you know, I won't say a fault tolerant, but at least a more mission critical environment around it. Because, for instance, there are times when if you're Macy's and you're looking to price merchandise in that month between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, having an outage would not be a good thing. Right. And you would be very frustrated if you weren't able to respond to what was happening to, say, Black Friday purchases the day after Thanksgiving, right, or something. So I think as you see corporations pull more of this in, a lot of them are in the experimenting phase. A lot of them will be trying it out. But then the question will be kind of like what you've seen with private clouds. You know, if you use Intel IT as an example, a lot of playing around with clouds went on before people really cut over to saying, okay, we're going to put a private cloud in place for infrastructure as a service. You know, where we're going to have real goals to deploy a new request in 30 to 45 minutes, you know, and we're going to have service level agreements, and we're going to have commitments for what we have to provide there. That will, I think, influence the Hadoop world as we go forward.
When you look at this, obviously you've called out some needs for some things to be added onto Hadoop. What is the role of open source tools, and do we see anything in the open source communities that would either add analytics on top of Hadoop or any sort of management infrastructure on top of Hadoop? And is that the next wave of hype?
Well, if it's not the next wave of hype, it's certainly the next wave of what every open source software engineer wants to be working on. Because, you know, if you're doing open source, you want to do work on neat, cool things. So I think you will see a lot of focus on open source management tools. I think you'll see a lot of focus on analytics tools. I mean, the buzzwords that are already coming out now, I think they're that Google is working on. I don't know who owns what, but there's a tool called Dremel and a tool called Drill out there that are supposed to be analytics that go into the data that you collect from Hadoop. And so I think you'll continue to see that get developed. And as the world works, I mean, you know, the joke about the Calderas and the Hortonworks and the MapRs is that they're all people who've left either Google or Facebook or Yahoo to form a Hadoop company of their own, you know, and chase the golden ring. So I would think you're going to see similar kinds of things with management management tools that you look at the one that I think caught everybody's by surprise this year is, unless you really were in open source, you didn't know who Splunk was, but Splunk was exceedingly popular operationally in the open source world because although they're quote analytics, they're really analytics for your operations environment. They let you run analytics on all your logs, on all your utilization data, on everything that helps you run a data center, and they were just hugely popular. I mean, there was nobody in open source running Linux who was going to go buy an expensive management tool, you know, from somebody that wanted you to pay tens of thousands of dollars for it. Everybody downloaded Splunk, and what you generally see here is you see, you know, free versions around for a while, and then somebody decide to carve out a portion of it and either offer a subscription model like Red Hat and like Caldera are doing to take it into a, you know, a more business environment, or carve off things like management tools or, you know, analytics tools or things where maybe you have a free version and a premium version, or a free version and a production version, and you'll see all of those typical kinds of things. I think the world is getting a lot savvier about what it takes to be a real open source company. You know, the story I tell people is it took Red Hat, which is really the first public, profitable, stock-traded open source company, took them 7 years to be profitable. And this year was the first year they crossed over $1 billion. So they were kind of the pioneers that were out there with subscription services and all the codes open. You can get the source code for everything. So there are a variety of models from kind of Red Hat at the purest production subscription model, which I think is what Caldera is doing, to people who sell, you know, more premium versions of things. And you'll see all of that. I mean, this is, if you're a developer, this is the place you want to be developing. If you, you know, think that you've gotten anything out of all of those Stanford classes about data manipulation, you know, this is where you want to be writing code. I mean, it's the new frontier. When you think about the database world, you know, until a few years ago, databases were kind of stodgy. I mean, you know, DB2, Oracle, even SQL Server hadn't really changed all that much lately, you know. And this is just, if you're doing a computer science, you know, graduate program now, this is exciting, fun stuff.
So when you think about that, two questions. Number one, does it change the fundamental money flow and who's going to actually make money off of data analytics? Does that environment change? Does this enter new ways for people to actually create businesses? I think that you've talked about some of the new companies that are coming out, but does this change the fundamental dynamics of this segment of the industry? And second, does this open up the flow of business analytics to customers who were not able to maybe do analytics? You know, we talk about a Macy's. Obviously, Fortune 500 companies are going to have the tools to do some analytics in the past, but for a medium sized business where business analytics might have been out of their reach of sophistication, is this something that may be in their reach now?
Well, I think I'm going to separate it into two or three things because you asked a complicated question. I think things change in a number of dimensions. The first one is this whole open source thing gets more mature. It will do what Linux has done, which is it will bring solutions to very, very different price points, running on, you know, x86, running on Xeons. I mean, that's the beauty of the work Microsoft, for instance, has done on analytics, which is they took it totally out of the world of risk, you know, and moved it, you know, into an x86 environment at a very different price point, as has Red Hat. So you will see that open source influence. The second one is putting your two buzzwords together, cloud and big data. You're going to see lots of people have Hadoop services in the cloud. I mean, that's a really easy way if you don't want to buy, you know, if you don't want to hire a couple of comp sci grad students or graduates and, you know, put this together in a computer room, you will look at, you know, do I get into this initially because I buy it as a service from somebody? And I think you'll start to see a variety of people start to do that. I mean, you could go today to Amazon and put a Hadoop cluster together, I'm sure. It wouldn't be that hard to do. So you'll see cloud providers, and I think you will see coming out of open source and coming out of the cloud, people who are starting to target small to medium businesses. Because, you know, you've heard, I think one of the buzz comments you've heard is that, you know, information is the new oil. You are going to be at a point, I think, 4 or 5 years from now, where if you haven't really got good analytics about your business, you can't be competitive. Okay. You know, even if you're running a plumbing and heating supply house, you know, you want to know who's buying what's behind your sales. You know, a lot of people people in those small to medium businesses get burned because something in the environment changes and some big chunk of their customers, you know, either go someplace else or stop buying. And if you're in a smaller business, that's a, you know, that's a really tough thing to see coming and you don't have a lot of reaction time. So I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see people get much, much smarter about how they analyze their businesses. I mean, you know, I have a dentist today who, when he gets into a slow period, you know, has his receptionist start calling people up and telling them they need to come in for a checkup. And he just hit gold with my husband because he had two cavities and needed a cap. So that paid his bills for the rest of the month. But that's a pretty primitive way to do it. I mean, you know, you'd love to have a customer base that, you know, with a laptop with Microsoft tools on it, right, you could run some analytics about your base and the spending and the times of the year that people came to see you and when you were flat and, you know, figure out how to even it out a little bit better. And that's really basic. And I think that if you're on the web, if you have a business that's on the web and or you're trying to hook the web and a warehouse together, that you're just really going to need to move into this stuff. And between Microsoft and Linux on the one end, and then, of course, the, you know, I don't expect IBM, which has the most enormous analytics portfolio in the world, isn't going to go away. I mean, they're a company that's remade themselves into a services company. They're still going to be there offering all of this as a service, as well as something you might want to do on premises.
If you were a medium-sized company today looking to grow your business, and you were looking at all of these data analytics, what would the first thing that you would ask yourself?
I think that when you, there are a couple of really really good books written about core, and I've forgotten, unfortunately, even though I've read them, the author's name, and I can get them to you, but the title of the one book that I would recommend to people is Beyond the Core, mm-hmm. because it talks about the fact that assuming you have a healthy core, because, I mean, some people have cores that are degenerating, and that's a whole different problem. But if you have a healthy core business, the easiest way to grow is into an adjacency. And it gives you a paradigm for kind of rating the risks of those adjacencies, because the closer the adjacencies are to your core business, the higher the probability of your success, and the further away you get, the bigger risk you get. But obviously, data is a piece of learning about those adjacencies, because for some people, it might mean, I'm just in one region, should I expand to another region? For some people, it might mean a product that levers off of the current product that they've got. But pure demographics information, economics information, I mean, that's all data that you want to bring in and you want to analyze. Because, for instance, if you're going to expand into a geography, you want to expand into a healthy economic environment, not one that's in recession, like Greece and Spain are probably not big places to expand today. And the same thing with products. You know, you want to go out there on the web and you want to pull in all of this information. And more importantly, these days, you know, something simple like, do you have a competitor? And what is Yelp saying about it? You know, what is Angie's List saying about it? I mean, the amount of research you can do, even if you're a small business, but it's all unstructured. It's not something that you can get in, you know, transactional form. You really want to go out and kind of sweep through those things and figure out what you can do.
Final question for you, Pauline. We talked about this topic of big data. I think we actually talked about Hadoop last year. This is our first year in review. What do you think we're going to be talking about next year?
Oh, wow. That's I think we're still going to be talking about on the client side, what devices people are using. I mean, you know, Apple's down the street doing a launch today, unfortunately, right on top.
Do you think anybody's listening to us? Are they all?
No, they're all online. Unless our only hope is that Tim Cook has stopped talking by now, since it's 11 o'clock. But yeah, I don't. I think people will replay us. So I think that the question is still going to be, what's the place for the laptop or the? I mean, I love some of the slick laptops we've shown with the flip over tablets and everything. I mean, I was very depressed because I went to the Ultrabooks booth, and the one that I like the most from NEC is only available in Japan and always sold out. So I'm going to have to write my NEC account team, you know, a letter saying, you got to help me here, guys.
Mm-hmm. But well, hopefully it'll have the right keyboard for you.
Yes, yes. The one they had in the booth did. So I think that how people do what, just that whole issue of access and mobility and devices, you know, is it tablets, is it laptops, is it combination devices?
Convertibles,
exactly. I think we'll still be talking about that because I think we're in the middle of an evolution and it's always hard to tell in the middle, you know, where the endpoints are really going to be. Because I don't think necessarily it's an either or. I think that, you know, we have shown our total fascination with gadgets and, you know, we just keep adding to them.
Right.
And the question is, you know, what's the priority order and how does it emerge? I would like wireless charging, but that's just a pet peeve of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the data center side, we're continuing to see a huge move driven by things like Hadoop and cloud to x86 in the data center. I mean, I don't know how many people realize it, but at IBM, their software business today on Linux and Windows and x86 is bigger than their mainframe software business.
That is a very huge statement that you just made.
Yeah. So if you and you know, IBM has got this goal of growing software. If they want to grow software, they have to grow it on x86. They're not going to grow it on the other architectures. So I think we're going to continue to see people wanting to better integrate the components, a little bit of what we've done in the data center group with storage, with networking. We have to get better. We've done fabric acquisitions. We've done switching acquisitions. We need to figure out how to deliver a better integrated product with software pieces that help you manage the power and facilities like that. I think we got to continue to work with private cloud. We're still in the middle of an evolution there in terms of what's public, what's private, security. I think we're going to be talking about security forever for the next 5 years, because it's going to take a while, particularly in the cloud and the open environment, to get it to be what we want it to be.
Mm-hmm. One interesting topic that I just got into my brain is hybrid applications. Running an application in the cloud and storing your data within your own private cloud. So interesting philosophy, and the Open Data Center Alliance came out with a statistic that said 75% of customers or of members are looking at these hybrid apps as part of their solutions. I would assume this is all driven by security in your mind.
It's driven by security, but I also think it's driven by a little bit of risk aversion, that it lets you have a foot in both camps, and we'd like to hope that one's not the boat and one's not the dock. but that, you know, that I can try cloud, but I can still keep my hands around the things that, you know, I'm concerned about from a security or a performance or a service level space, because those things still aren't as robust as we'd like to have them be. But cloud is very appealing from a whole variety of reasons, and so I think you are going to see people. The thing to me about hybrid is it going to be an interim step, or is it going to be part of the long-term solution?
Right. Well, Pauline, as always, it's been a pleasure. I've learned a lot from talking to you today, and hope you have a great Intel Developer Forum, and hopefully we'll catch up with you next month at Oracle World.
Yep. Thanks a lot. Great to talk to you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.